It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Hello, praise the Lord, and welcome to Jesus is the Answer. This is Pastor Peter. I'm going to pray for you and your needs. And I believe that our God is going to supply all our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Please call that number and someone will pray for you and your needs. I believe that our God is a miracle working God, and He is doing signs and wonders and miracles. We were studying about the Satan. And we know that Satan's time has come, and the last war with Satan will happen after the millennium, and the devil will be destroyed completely. There will be no other war. And so we were studying about the devil, and the devil tried to destroy the mankind, and mankind fell, and he became the king of the world. If you remember, if you read in Genesis, God told the mankind, you should be king of this garden, and you should be having dominion over everything, and you should be watchful. When the enemy came, they're supposed to say, get out of my garden, this is my garden, who are you? You are talking against God, and you are putting the doubt in my heart, and I love the Lord and I worship the Lord, and who are you? But they didn't resist the devil. The Word of God says resist the devil and he will flee from you. We don't have to run from the devil. Devil has to run from us. But anyhow, the man was defeated, and that's why the devil became the king of this world. But as you know the history, there were so many good people on the earth. We learn about the Abel was a good man. We learn about the Enoch was a good man. We walked with God. We learn about the Noah was the righteous man. Even the whole world was drowned in the water, but Noah and his family survived. So he was a good man. And after the Noah, there was another good man called Job. And the Word of God says in the book of Job, chapter 1, if you read from verse 6 to 12, there was a conference in heaven, and the sons of God gathered together. And then this Satan came also and presented himself. And God asked him a question, where are you coming from? He said, well, I'm wandering on the earth, going up and down and here and there. And God said, did you see my servant Job? Then he said, yes, I saw him. Then he said, but you know why? Why Job is worshiping you and he's a good man? Because you gave him a wealth. Not only that, you put the hedge of protection over him. So I cannot do anything. But if you take all of the blessings you have given to him, he will curse you. So God says, okay, go ahead. But do one thing. Don't touch his body. Do everything you want, and the devil destroys everything. You have to read the Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, you will know it. But Job didn't say anything bad, even though his wife came and said, curse God. He didn't curse God, and he was righteous man at that particular time. Then the second time, there was a conference in heaven. All the sons of God gathered together, and the devil present himself. And God said, hey, did you see the Job? He said, yes. He did not curse me yet. He said, well, skin for skin. You have to give some problem to his body. So God said, okay, go ahead. But don't touch his spirit or soul. Don't kill him. Give whatever the problem you want to give it to him. But the point I'm making here, devil has to take the permission from God. And whatever God says, he can do. He has no power to do anything more than God. God watches His children all the time. Trials and tribulation comes not from God, comes from the enemy. Enemy comes to try the man of God, but God gives you grace and gives you way to out of it. So many people do not know that. People are blaming God. Why God allowed this disaster? Sometime in the Old Testament, the word of God says, if they don't listen to me, I will bring the flood, I will bring the famine, I will destroy them. But after Jesus Christ came, the word of God says that, as I read earlier, St. John chapter 10, verse 10, the enemy, the devil, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus Christ said, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. Now that things are different. After Jesus Christ came into this world, why he came? He came to rescue the mankind. The man was slave to sin. Man was slave to devil. He sold his soul to devil. He was following the devil. But Jesus Christ came, and Jesus Christ wanted to destroy the works of the devil. That's the reason Jesus Christ came. So he took the form of man. The man was created from the dust. So he took the form of man. The word of God says in the book of Hebrews, God created him, Jesus Christ, lower than the angel. But the Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he is from eternity. But when he took the form of man, he took the form of man just like he was made from the dust, same body. But Jesus Christ is called the second Adam. He came to give mankind his own life, eternal life. So he took the form of man and he took the mankind's sin. We read in the 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, when he was on the cross, he took the sin of the man, and God put the man's sins on Christ, and Christ sacrificed his life for mankind. He became the sacrifice for you and for me. We were going to go to hell, but Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse. The man committed sin, and the curse came, the death was the curse. Jesus Christ came and redeemed us from the curse of the law. But the point I'm making here, the devil wanted to now tempt Christ. He thought, I deceived the mankind, now earth is belong to me, and Jesus Christ came into this earth, now I want to defeat this second Adam, so I will be the king of the whole universe. And so that was his point. Jesus Christ lived in this earth, and when he was sent into this world to fulfill the law and die for the mankind and redeem the mankind. That's the reason Jesus Christ came. So now when Jesus Christ took the baptism, John the Baptist says, hey, why are you taking baptism from me? You should be baptizing me. What Jesus Christ said, baptism is the commandment of God, and I have to fulfill the commandment of God. This is the righteousness of God. I want to fulfill the righteousness of God. That's why he took the baptism. As soon as he took the baptism, the heaven opened, and the voice came from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So when this voice came, Jesus heard it, John the Baptist heard it, and I believe devil, Satan, also heard it. But after the baptism, Jesus went to pray and worship the Lord. And the word of God says he was there 40 days and 40 nights. He was fasting and praying. Here comes the devil. When he was weakest point in his body, 40th day, he was very weak. And he comes and say, hey, are you the Son of God? You remember how he came to that Adam's wife? He said, hey, did God tell you not to eat all the fruits? The same way he said, are you the Son of God? If you are, you can take this stone and make a bread. Now Jesus Christ was fasting. He was in a human flesh. He was hungry. He could say, hey, you gave me a good idea. Let me do this. But if he would have done it, then what? He would be obeying the Satan. So he didn't want to listen to Satan. He said, you know, the word of God says, he took it from the Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3, he says, the man shall not live by bread alone, but every word proceedeth out of the mouth of God, man can live. So he said, I'm not living by bread alone. I am living by the word of God, 40 days and 40 nights. I didn't eat anything, I'm still alive. And so the devil start quoting the Bible scriptures to defeat the devil. Defeat the Jesus. And Jesus start quoting the Bible to defeat the enemy. Now, I don't have time, but I'm giving the Bible scriptures. You can read Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11, and Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. And all these, both chapters, if you read, there's how the devil tried to defeat Jesus. He brought three temptations. And you read this temptation in the first John chapter 2, if you read verses 15 and 16 and 17, it says, the enemy comes with the three kinds of temptations. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. The first temptation he gave to that lady the same way. But then now he comes to him and he say, okay, if you want to live for your flesh, you need bread. So he rejected. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. Then he says, okay, then bow down to me and I will give all this kingdom. So he said, worship the Lord and not worship anybody. Then he says, fall from this, go to the temple, pinnacle of the temple, and just jump. The angel will come and protect him, protect you. So what did he say? He says, don't tempt God. So the point I'm making, he passed the test of desire of flesh, of the eyes of the flesh, or the pride of life. So he became victorious and he defeated the devil. But that time he was weak, physically weak. And that battle was going in his heart, on his mind. You saw movies, they take Jesus and put it on the pinnacle of the temple and they tell him to fall and they took him to the highest mountain and things like that. He was fasting and praying. He didn't have the strength to climb the highest mountain. He didn't have strength to climb that pinnacle of the temple. And he didn't want to eat that, take a stone and make a bread. But this is battle was going in his mind. If you read in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, he says he was tempted just like you and me. But he did not yield to temptation. And so he overcame the enemy and enemy left him. But if you read in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, the word of God says, angels of heaven came to minister to him. Now, what kind of ministry they did, we don't know. They might have got him the heavenly food, heavenly manna. They might have given him the water to drink. They might have strengthened him to come from there, to come to the Jerusalem. All of these things angel did. Because the word of God says, when you are born again, child of God, in book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, God sends angels to minister to you. So exactly happened here. When Jesus Christ passed the test, the angel came to minister to him. So here we say, and if you read in a book of Luke, verses 1 to 13, 13th verse, Luke says the devil left him for a season or for a short while. But in his ministry, devil came many times to destroy Christ. But when he was in a Gethsemane, we see when he was in Gethsemane, devil wanted to kill him in the Gethsemane. And he was pouring his blood from his forehead and all of his body, the blood was pouring. And his disciples were praying. And he said, pray with me. Three times he came, the same thing, they were sleeping. And he prayed the same prayer. Father, take this cup away from me. He didn't want to die in the Gethsemane. And many preachers and many scholars says, oh, he was weak in his body, he didn't want to die on the cross. That's wrong. The word of God says Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. It cannot change. He wanted to die on the cross. Why cross? Because the word of God says in Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, and whoever hangs on the tree is a curse. So he wanted to take the curse on the cross. But the devil wanted to kill him in the Gethsemane. And if you read in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7, the word of God says, when he was in his flesh, when he was tired and weary, he cried to God. He cried with the tears and loud voice, said, God, please save me from this death. And the word of God says, God heard his prayer and saved him from the death. Now just think, if he didn't want to go to cross and God saved him from the death, then he doesn't have to die. But he died on the cross of Calvary. Revelation chapter 1 verse 18 we read, Jesus says, I was dead, now I am alive forevermore. Muslim people want to believe that Jesus never died. Somebody was died and Jesus was taken out of the cross. Where was he? They could not find. And the Jewish people didn't want to say that he was resurrected. They said, oh, maybe somebody stole his body. Then where is his body? This is all lie. It's a lie from the hell, and the devil is the liar, as I said. Jesus Christ defeated the devil on the cross. The word of God says, as I said earlier, 1 John chapter 3 verse 8, Jesus Christ came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. And when on the cross, he defeated the devil. Colossians chapter 2 verse 15 is the word of God says, he disarmed the enemy. Now he has no power over the Christians and over the believers, because he cannot put you in the hell. That Jesus Christ had the key of the hell. So Jesus Christ is victorious. When they buried him, he came out of the grave and he was victorious over the death. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you have to read from 50 to 57. But in short, what I'm trying to say, he overcome the death. He defeated the enemy, who is death, is the devil. And he overcome. So he came victoriously. He destroyed the works of the devil. And what Jesus Christ says in St. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, he said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. What does it mean? If you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, even though if you die, he will resurrect you. And if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if Jesus comes today, you don't have to die. You will be transformed. That's why the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, if you read, he said Jesus Christ will come, he will bring the spirits of the dead people, and when he comes, those spirits will join with their bodies, they will be transformed, and the people who are alive, born again Christians, they will be transformed, and they will go and meet the Lord in the air. That is the hope for the believers. And who did it? Jesus Christ defeated the death, conquered the death, and we are victorious because of Christ. So that's why the point I'm making here, after Jesus Christ defeated the devil, devil never went to heaven again. We studied in a book of Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, each time the angels gathered together, angels were called the children of God or the sons of God. There are no other sons. Jesus is the only son. And then we are the sons of God. But angels are called sons. Why? Because all the creation is supposed to call the Creator Father. In Hebrew language, if you invent anything or create anything, you are the father of that thing. So that's why the angels were called the sons. But the Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we are the children of God. Okay, the point I'm making, after Jesus Christ defeated the Satan and he disarmed him, he was not able to go to heaven, but he was cast out from the heaven and he cast to the earth. Today, he can go to the atmosphere, he can go to the moon, wherever the man will go, he will go. But he cannot go to the third heaven where the God the Father and angels are, because he is defeated. And then we know, then Revelation chapter 10 verse 12, he says, the devil is an accuser of the brethren. So he accused the brethren and always fights. But the word of God says, Jesus Christ is the mediator. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 to 27, if you read, Jesus Christ the mediator, he is our lawyer, he plead your case. Devil wants to make you miserable. Even though Moses' body, they were taking for burial, and the devil comes and he says, oh no, it's my body. Then the angel came and rebuked him and buried him. Why he was saying? Because devil knew Moses disobeyed God, so he thought, oh, this is ours now. So same way the enemy is coming, if you make a slight mistake, he comes and he says, he's belong to me. But the God, the Father, and God the Son pleads to Father. He says, no, he pleading the blood of Jesus Christ. He has the good testimony. He is the overcomer. Devil is a liar. And he prays for you and he is a mediator for you. Then we learned last some programs, the devil has an evil trinity. He is the evil God, and Antichrist is his follower, and false prophet. That's an evil trinity. And so what happens in Revelation chapter 13, he gives his own power and own seat, means his throne, to the Antichrist. And we learn in the time of tribulation, Antichrist and false prophet will do so many harm to the believers and the Jewish people. But the word of God says they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they were victorious. Even though they gave their life, the God says they were victorious. Because devil can kill your body, but he cannot kill your soul or spirit. That's why they were victorious. So now we learn that devil gave the power to the Satan, means the Antichrist and the false prophet, and they were doing all kinds of evil things. And we learn in the book of Revelation chapter 16, there were seven kinds of bowls of wrath or pour. There are seven seals, and there are seven trumpets, and there are seven bowls of wrath. The seven seal and seven trumpet was already done when the two witnesses were there. And the Revelation chapter 8 says, woe, woe, woe. And the two woes were finished when the two witnesses finished their testimony. And the third woe was remaining. And that third woe came when this devil started working. Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 to 14, if you read. Devil, what happened to this devil when the sixth wrath was poured on the Euphrates River, and the Euphrates River became dry. So now this evil trinity, that three evil spirit came out of their mouth like a frog. And they said, let's go and call all these nations of the world to fight against Christ and his army or Israeli people. And the word of God says they came, and that time they came to the Battle of Armageddon, and we learned they were defeated. But now we are learning for the last battle. When Jesus Christ comes in the time of Armageddon, Revelation chapter 19 verses 20 and 21, he comes with his army, with his bride, with his holy angels, and he gets hold of the Antichrist, and he go get hold of the false prophets and put them in the lake of fire alive. And then after the seven, and they get hold of the even the devil, put him in a chain and put him in the what you call the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. After the millennium, the devil will be loose for a while, and what he does then, he goes and try to bring all the armies of nations to fight with God. And that is called the last battle. Now, many people get mixed up with this Armageddon and the last battle. You have to read in the book of Ezekiel chapter 38 verses 8 to 12. In there you read the enemy, means Gog and Magog. When they come, they said, okay, this land is safe, this land is living peacefully, this land has no walls, no gates, so it's easy to defeat, and we are going to take a loot. That didn't happen in the time of tribulation, because in the time of tribulation, they didn't have the time to think there was a wall and Israeli people were protecting. Not only that, they were fighting against these armies, and they defeated the army. But this Ezekiel chapter 38, this is the time when the devil goes and puts the thoughts in their mind, evil thoughts, and gather those people together for the fight. And the word of God says, when you read the Revelation chapter 20 verse 9, the fire comes from heaven and devour them. All these people were destroyed. And get hold of the Satan and puts him in the lake of fire where the false prophets and the Antichrist is. And that will be the last final destruction for the Satan and his armies. But if you read in Ezekiel chapter 39, that is of the Battle of Armageddon. Ezekiel chapter 38 verses 8 to 12, that is the final battle of the Armageddon. And there, Satan will be defeated and put it in the lake of fire, and all his armies and nations will be burned to ashes. So this will be the final defeat of devil, final destruction of the devil. He will be putting in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. The time is gone. I want you to give your heart to the Lord and pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I don't want to be in the devil's kingdom. I want to be with Christ Jesus. Please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood and make me your child. In Jesus' name I pray and I call it done. If you prayed this prayer, you are a child of God, your sins are forgiven, and you are belong to God. Now, time is almost gone. May God richly bless you and use you more and more for His glory. Now, next time, we are going to learn what happens after the devil is defeated. Now, may God richly bless you and use you more and more for His glory. You got a double blessing. May God bless you now.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.